Joining me in the studio now on Fresh Air is composer and pianist Carla Bley and trumpeter and composer Michael Mantler. They're both important figures in contemporary jazz for their music and for the music organizations they've created. They were both founding members of the Jazz Composers Orchestra Association, a loosely knit collective who played together and recorded, and the Jazz Composers Orchestra Association developed into an artist-run record label. Carla and Mike are also founding members of the New Music Distribution Service, which, to my knowledge, is the major distribution service in the country for small jazz labels. Many of these are artist-run labels. Much of the music is avant-garde jazz. Both Carla and Mike record on their own record label, which is called Watt Records. My first encounter with Carla Bley's music was with her major opus jazz opera called Escalator Over the Hill. It kind of sounded to me like that jazz avant-garde meets Kurt Weill and encounters 1960s pop music on the way. The cast included Mike Mantler, Don Cherry, Jack Bruce, John McLaughlin, Charlie Hayden, Linda Ronstadt, Dewey Redman, Rosal Rudd, among others. About the most diverse coming together of musicians I've heard. Carla has, as of late, been writing for her band, which features, among others, some rock-type musicians. When she combines rock forms with jazz, she doesn't end up with what is usually called jazz fusion. We'll be hearing more examples of how it does sound. You might have also heard her band recently on Jazz Alive, and Carla has a new album which features some of the pieces she played during that performance, and the album is called Music Mechanique. We'll be hearing some selections from that in a few minutes. As Carla Bley's albums usually feature Mike Mantler, his albums usually feature her at the piano. He has written works for many musicians, like his piece for piano and two orchestras, and compositions for smaller groups. He has composed a few albums whose lyrics are passages of literary works. His album No Answer has words by Samuel Beckett. The Hapless Child, words by Edward Gorey. And Silences is an adaptation of the play by Harold Pinter. Carla Bley and Mike Mantler are in Philadelphia to play the Main Point tonight. It's a rare opportunity to see them. They've toured in Europe, but have not toured that extensively the States. To my knowledge, they've never played Philadelphia, and it's just one of those kind of rare opportunities to see the band in your own city. Welcome to Fresh Air. It's really a great pleasure to have you here.
Hello.
Hello.
I really associate both of your musics, with the avant-garde, though now, like, the Carla Bley band is kind of swinging in a kind of rock kind of way. But I'd like to ask you a little bit about how your relation to and your feelings of the avant-garde has changed since, like, the late 60s.
Oh, we play only very serious avant-garde music.
Well, I remember, Mike, the first album on JCOA that you put out that was, forget how many albums were in it, but
it was two.
Just two, and it featured extensive, long solos by the many musicians who were on it. It was a...
Well, not really. Actually, all the pieces are written specifically for one soloist from that scene, and all the music was written around them. The only improvised stuff was what they were playing.
The JCOA struck me as being a fairly kind of... political group in one way or another, not necessarily for political causes, but because of the kind of notions it represented of artists coming together outside of the auspices of record companies. And
right, well, it started out that way, and it remains that, really. It was this, more or less, guess what's loosely called a self-help organization. No one else would deal with this.
Do you feel any kind of, like, a... I don't know, political motivations at all now, either, like, still, because you both still have your own record label, Watt Records, and are with the New Music Distribution Service. I mean, you've both charted a course for yourselves that is very independent of major record companies, and in doing that have kind of helped other artists remain independent of record companies.
Well, is political the same as socially conscious? If it is, then yes.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a Republican or Democratic record company.
Oh, that's not what I meant. Okay. Carla, can you tell us about the band now that you've been touring with and writing for?
It's got 10 pieces, but sometimes it has more. I think tonight it has probably 12 or 13, maybe 14. Because sometimes I... use insurance and have two players on one part in case one of them breaks a leg. Tonight I have two. What do I have two of? Oh, I have an extra glockenspielist who will only be with me in two cities because she's only 12 and goes to school. And I'm taking her out this week, but I can't take her out for the whole tour. And so Philadelphia gets her.
Is she your daughter?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Boring. And then I have two French horns tonight. And I believe maybe I'll be missing some people. I won't have Roswell Red with me tonight. And I'll have a new trombone player named Gary Valenti. And I'm having, I think, some guy I just found on the way here with a huge... Well, I won't tell you about that.
You have to come and see.
Curly, you've been working, you know, over the past few years with some musicians who've done a lot of studio work for R&B albums and stuff. People like the members of Stuff who were on one of your records. Can you talk to us a little bit about how you're kind of using people who's... who are known, you know, as being like rock musicians in a, you know, in a jazz context, and as I said, not making it sound like a fusion record.
Well, I think I become infatuated with certain kinds of music and then try to either absorb it or at least wear out my infatuation by actually doing something about it. In other words, having the fantasy of working with Frank Sinatra and then going and doing it and getting rid of it.
What were some of your fantasies that led to the collaborations that you've put together?
Well, with the particular record you mentioned, I was fascinated with Stuff as a rhythm section because they were so perfect and beautiful. And my rhythm sections always were terribly creative or something, but fell down in some of the more mundane aspects. So I decided it would be really, really fun to have my stuff played by an impeccable rhythm section. And I did that and got it out of my system. And now I think I'm probably back to choosing people for other reasons.
How do you find people who you want to play with? I mean, you know, I know you're kind of, you know, part of a kind of community of musicians, and you probably know a lot of musicians who also know a lot of other musicians. But can you tell us some of the ways you've met some of the people who are featured, for instance, on the Musique Mécanique album, from which we'll be hearing a selection in a minute?
Well, I usually choose musicians by their names. Blue Jean Tierney was my piano player for the last year because I really liked that name. And I've got a drummer on this one whose name is D Sharp. So that has something to do with it. And then also I like some tall guys, some short guys, some black guys, some white guys. I try to get a couple Spanish guys or, you know, I got an Italian now. I like to have a lot of different kind of people. A young one, a very old one, a girl and a boy, and, you know, stuff like that. Like a girl, a boy, like lined up across the stage.
Sounds like the kind of thing you'd snap, like a class picture kind of
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, that's what I like. I like it to be diverse looking. And in the announcements, if I can say something strange about a person, like this is the man who won the 100-yard dash, and he's now my trumpet player, then it helps me to introduce the music to the audience.
Do you write with your musicians in mind at all?
Oh, I do, and it's a terrible handicap because if at the last moment the personnel changes, I'm stuck with a book that doesn't work at all and have to very, very quickly change things around. And that's happened to me. The last 3 weeks I've been at the desk constantly changing everything as musicians came and went and as I knew who could make it and who couldn't. That's always been a problem. I'd like to write just for the instrument instead of the people, but I can't help it, really.
Can you talk a little bit about some of the qualities that you see being, like, unique to certain instruments when you're composing? I mean, like, you use trombone frequently in your works and get a kind of almost, like, drunken quality from it, a very, like, you know, lazy, almost wobbly... Well, effect from it. I've started considering it, you know, kind of like one of your trademarks in a way, you know, the way you write for a trombone. Since
nice.
Not many people write for trombone also. You
well,
know.
I should think you'd notice the tuba then, hardly.
And the tuba, of course.
Tuba
yeah, well, of course. And the ones, and I mean, you're not using it to...
Glockenspiel, I mean.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Well, no, I just choose six horns, and I like to get some little ones that play very high notes, some big ones that play very low notes, and some medium-sized horns for the notes in the middle. There's nothing subtle about it. It just has to do with size and
okay.
range. The trombone plays like certain low notes nicely and a lot of middle range notes, so I always have one.
Okay. Well, we're going to listen to a selection from the new album featuring the Carla Bley Band. The album's called Music Mechanique, and we're going to be hearing the part three of this. Carl, do you want to say a few words about it?
Well, it's a French album. It's called Musique Mechanique.
Uh-huh.
That's all I'd like to say.
Okay, well, let's hear it.
Thank you.
from the Carla Bley Band new album called Musique Mécanique. We heard the third section of the Mécanique portion. For people who are listening, I'm sure like the first reaction was, uh-oh, the needle stuck, and then they probably realized that that was part of the piece. Carla, was that tape manipulation that you were doing there?
No, it wasn't. I made the musicians do that. That's the truth.
I bet that's kind of hard to play, really, you know, because it's...
Yeah, it's hard to get stuck effectively.
No, really, I mean, it's really... It's the rhythms keep starting just before they would if you were playing it naturally.
Like that, like what would happen on a phonograph if it were really stuck. It was very hard to perfect all of our mistakes. And the only thing that really doesn't come across in a concert situations is if we mess up our mistakes. That's just terrible.
I should mention, for those of you just joining us, that my guests in the studio are composer and piano player Carla Bley, whose composition we just heard, and composer and trumpet player Mike Mantler. And they together will be playing at the Main Point this evening along with the band, and I guess there'll be two shows of that at 8 and 10 at the Main Point in Philadelphia. Would you be able, Mike, at all to kind of... express a philosophy of composing? I mean, would you say that as a composer you have, you know, that you have a philosophy of composing?
Well, a philosophy... No, I don't. I couldn't. I don't have a philosophy of composing.
And he couldn't express it if he did.
Probably. I just write music as it happens, and whatever I've written has just developed over the years that way. I have no particular system I use, or I'm not, quote, schooled as a composer, because I abandoned that very early, the schooling part, for that very reason. I didn't want that. So whatever I write, if people care to analyze it, which I don't care to, and I don't particularly care if people do, but people have, and will probably continue to, whenever they do, I mean, it's very funny to find out what they think it is, what there really is behind it, because there's really nothing behind it. I just like the certain combinations of intervals and melodies and chords and rhythms and the way they all go together, and that's music.
There's about three of your albums that are literary as well as musical that you've, you know, gotten permission from people like Edward Gorey, Samuel Beckett, and Harold Pinter to use things that they've written. What has that interested you about?
Well, the reason
that
for that was
effort?
At that point, and still probably maybe in the future again at some point, I really liked the use of the voice, certain types of voices, which are obviously not trained classical voices, but rather untrained, rough type voices, like Jack Bruce's, or, you know, just the people I've used, Robert Wyatt. Now, since I had a voice, I needed something to say for them, right? And I don't care to write something because there are other people who do that better. Not very many that I like.
Three.
Just about two or three. And so I wanted to use that, something that meant something to me.
So these are all and people whose works mean a lot to you?
Yeah.
Was it easy to get Samuel Beckett's permission?
Surprisingly, yes, because he doesn't really care that much. I mean, he's, you know, it's done through his publisher, and I asked his publisher, and he obviously was a serious person who wasn't about to do something weird to the words. So they wrote to him, and he said, okay.
Can I ask you both how you like playing on each other's records, and, you know, for each other's compositions? Carla, how do you like playing on Mike's compositions?
I like it.
How
a
come?
Lot. How come do
yeah.
I like it?
Yeah.
Same reason he writes it. I like the way the melodies and the rhythms and the harmonies sound.
Well, I find that indispensable. She has to play, you know, playing all my music, because it's not what... Actually, she's the only one, usually, of the musicians on my records that doesn't have a written part. I just give her the whole score, and she adds. I know what she will add, and that's what I want.
How do you like playing in the Carla Bley Band?
Same. We just said it.
Just change Mike to Carla and he to she, and just...
Also, what I play on her music is more interpretive of what she actually writes. I mean, she actually adds more to my music than I add to hers, I think.
Well, it's nice of him to say that, but I don't think it's at all true.
Well, I don't know.
Well, let's stop the disagreement. We're going to hear something from one of Michael Mettler's records called Movies. And it's an album that features Carla Bley and Steve Swallow, Tony Williams, and Lara Coryell. It's not one of the vocal pieces that we've been referring to. I guess, would you call this a concept album? I mean, it's...
No. Movies means absolutely nothing. Mm-hmm. I like movies.
There's a picture on the back of someone undoing and redoing the Beacon marquee with the cast of this album.
Yeah, we just did that for the album cover.
Yeah,
we didn't actually play there.
No, I figured. Yeah. Can you tell us a little bit about the record? We'll be hearing the first Movies One selection from it.
This is the last record I did, and I like it. I think it's a nice record. I think it's the most accessible record I've probably done. Not consciously, it just, again, turned out that way, because that's what I wanted to hear.
Does it reflect a change in listening habits or something of your own?
Not really. Not really, no. And it uses people that I've always liked, particularly, you know, musician Tony Williams and Swallow and Larry Coryell and Carla, obviously. I think the radical difference is that I actually play on it. It's the first... only record that of my own that I play trumpet on.
I was going to ask you about that. Why is that? I mean, that...
Well, because I was always involved in the writing of the music, and I felt there was really enough there of me that I didn't have to play trumpet on. I don't really hear the trumpet in all my music. It's not really essential. On that particular record, since that is a more conventional format, instrumentation-wise, you know, it's a quintet, trumpet, tenor, rhythm section type thing. So I wanted to play, and I'm glad I did. I'm going to do another one, actually, now.
Another album?
I wrote another one, which will be similar to that, coming out of that, using similar musicians and that kind of instrumentation. I'm also going to be touring with a band like that in Europe, alas.
Good, okay, well, let's listen to the most recent of Michael Mantler's album. The album is called Movies, and we'll hear the first selection. Thank you. heard selection one from Michael Mantler's album Movies, and in the studio with me is trumpeter and composer Michael Mantler, along with pianist and composer Carla Bley. And they're in Philadelphia because the Carla Bley Band is playing at the Main Point this evening, and it is the first time that either of them have played Philadelphia.
It's the first time I've ever been in Philadelphia.
Really? Oh. Gee. So you've both been to Europe, and I believe have toured there pretty extensively. Can you talk a little bit about some of the differences that you see between the way, you know, both of your musics are received in Europe and in the States, if there indeed are any differences?
Well, the main difference is that in Europe we can work almost any time we want to, and in the States we cannot ever work.
Have I not heard you in the cities that I've lived because you don't feel like playing, or what?
No, that's not the reason at all. I'd much rather play in the States than in Europe.
Really?
I intend to crack the States. I'm going to just keep working on it until they let me work here and not keep sending me to Finland and Italy and all those places.
Because at this point, even although we are working in the States and have been for about a year, we're not really. I mean, we are paying to play in the States. You know, we are...
I mean, it's not a real big profit-making thing by any means.
Oh, it's a very big, heavy financial loss every time we go play somewhere.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, have you ever thought of, I mean, you've both gone, like, as I said before, the real independent route, you know, I mean, not working through, like, big deal agents who know how to crack the media and, you know, help make their people into stars and stuff. And you haven't been going through, you know, major record companies that would... Not that many major companies put their money in back of jazz anyways. But I guess, you know, in spite of the hardships of it, it's still more comfortable for you to be managing your own careers, basically.
Oh, yeah, it seems to be essential to what we do.
Have you thought at all about why it is easier to play anytime you want to in Europe than in the States?
Oh, I suppose it's something simple like we're exotic over there and not here.
It's also there's more public support for the arts in general in Europe, supported by the governments. Radio stations have something to do with that in particular, which doesn't exist here.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Just to me, you're pretty exotic here, both because of your music and the fact that it's so hard to really... know, get to hear you ever. Carla, you had been playing saxophone for a while. Can I ask why you started picking up that instrument and if you're continuing doing it?
Oh, I will try not to give a silly answer to that. Okay, my serious answer to that question is because I...
All right, for your silly answer.
I can't think of a serious answer for that. Why do I play the saxophone? I don't really play it.
Uh-huh.
I just hold it and have photographs taken with it. I mean, oh, that's the silly answer. I play saxophone because I like it.
That's swell, okay. Have you been, like, practicing on it a lot? I mean, no, it must be interesting for you. I mean, because you certainly... are a really accomplished piano player, you compose, but it's still like a new instrument when you pick it up, and it's going to be as hard for you to play a scale as it is for anyone else, probably.
I'm entirely serious when I tell you I cannot play a scale on the saxophone. I once had a gig on saxophone, and I had to keep a little chart in front of me, which fingers pressed down which notes, and then I'd take a long time and get the fingering, and then I'd blow through the top of the horn and the note would come out. And I am not an accomplished pianist. I am an accomplished composer, period. I play piano, and I play organ, and I play saxophone, and anything else I can get my hands on, because it's fun. But I am certainly no virtuoso on any instrument at all, except something in my brain.
Mike, you had said before that you don't usually hear trumpet in some of the things that you're doing. The trumpet doesn't seem to be that important. That's just a real surprise to me, because I always figure that someone who's a composer and a musician hears their first instrument the most prominently when they're playing.
Not really. I really hate the trumpet, actually. I like to play it.
I think the misconception you have is placing us so firmly in the jazz tradition That's so true. Most of the people in the jazz tradition play the write for the instruments they play. But Mike and I come from the outside as composers who use jazz musicians. And we're just not the same as the others, really.
When you say you're coming from the outside, I mean, that's going to sound to a lot of people like it means you're coming from classical music. Is that what you mean? I mean, what...
Well, not really that either, actually.
I mean, do you feel like you're coming
it's
outside?
It's just neither of us were ever players who just did gigs on their instrument, played with other people in people's bands. Also, we both have, and I have, and actually started out that way, but I lost interest in that pretty quick because I just started writing my own music, really. And the trumpet simply didn't figure in it that much because I was interested in using other kinds of sounds and combinations. And also, there are always, you know, lots of trumpets around, but that's sort of limited, you know, if you're just writing for a trumpet or a trumpet type combination group, you know.
Do you, like, practice your instruments much? I mean,
Never. Uh-huh. I only have to before I go on a tour just to keep the muscle, you know, in shape or get it in shape so I can play. I used to practice a lot. I did all the schooling in that, like, 15 years ago. And I got to a certain point, and from now on, I don't think I get any better technically at it. I mean, whatever I can play, I think that's what I have. The only thing you have to keep up is just... You know, the muscle, really.
Mm-hmm.
And Carla never practices.
And never have. But we do. We practice what we do. We write music.
Uh-huh.
I think the instrumental part of our lives is extremely small.
Really?
I've no idea. Yeah, it
but
is.
What is so strange?
But the composer part is. Yeah. I mean, the musical part of your life is.
Yeah.
Oh, no, just talking about the instrument.
I don't understand why that is even so strange.
Mm-hmm.
I guess if people know you only from records, and people are used to jazz musicians appearing on their records, they're players. Like, you, every record of yours you play on, and every record I play on, so I'm a trumpet player, and, you know, to a lot of people who don't know me or don't really know anything about the music. And it's misleading. It doesn't matter, really.
No, it doesn't matter. Go ahead.
You have, I think, a home and studios in Woodstock as well as in Manhattan. How do you like being, you know, removed from the city and in, you know, in a nice country environment? Is that good for your kind of private lives and composing?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's
good for every
necessary.
Human being's private lives.
Cities are, you know, an aberration of human life. Also, I like a city, like New York, you know, it's very exciting and all that stuff, you know, the usual city.
Mm-hmm.
things, but I don't think I could live in there all the time anymore. I don't know, I suppose I could, but I don't really want to.
Let me just ask you, as composers, you know, like, how much of the way you hear something and the way you're kind of writing something out is going to be done in the, like, studios, do you know, before before the fact? And by that I mean, like, through, like, technology, through, like, overdubbing or mixing or editing or some kind of, you know, like, technological manipulation as opposed to, you know, scoring for
musicians.
No,
nothing.
Uh-huh.
Also, we use all the technology later, but it's not conceived that way.
It has nothing to do with it at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Where's the band going to be going after this day in Philadelphia?
New York, Boston, Montreal, Toronto, a couple of places in Michigan around
Detroit. East Lansing.
So this is probably like the biggest...
Austin, Texas.
Wow.
San Francisco.
California.
And L.A. That's it. 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Carl, I remember when you were going on the road with Jack Bruce in Europe, I said to myself, wow, this is really going to be something. I mean, like, you know, Carla Bley, who's known to me through things like Escalator Over the Hill, is going to maybe become a rock star. I mean, not knowing what kind of music you were going to be doing together. What was that experience like? I mean, there was an interview with you in Rolling Stone. A few years ago, I believe.
Well, I should hope so. A few years ago.
I don't remember when it was, a couple of years ago or something.
That was really a lot of fun. That was really a lot of fun. And I think that's why I have this band today. Because it was so much fun playing for the first time. And traveling around. And staying in fancy hotels. And driving in big cars. And smoking long cigars. And drinking fine wines, and having kings and queens in the audience and stuff. I wanted to do it myself. And so now I have this band, and I do all those things.
Well, I wish you both the best, and I'm really glad that you're in Philadelphia giving us the opportunity to...
Is the king and queen coming?
Well, I don't know.
Where's the limousine?
Yeah.
Do you have any cigars?
Yeah, really. Well, listen, thanks a lot for both being here this afternoon. I've been in the studio with composers Carla Bley and Mike Mantler. Carla also plays keyboard instruments. Mike also plays trumpet. They will be playing with the Carla Bley Band this evening at the Main Point. And again, this is a real major tour for the Carla Bley Band, and the first time the band's going to be playing in the Philadelphia area. We're going to hear now another selection from Carla's new album, the Carla Bley Band Musique Mécanique. And... this is the first. You see, there's a series on the second side of like Musique Mécanique 1, number 2, number 3. This is number 1, and if either of you want to say a few words about it before we hear it.
Well, we tried very hard to play this piece perfectly and failed.
Terrific. Thanks a lot again for being here.
Okay. Thank you.
Carla Bley Band from their new album, Music Mechanique. And again, Carla Bley and the band will be in Philadelphia at the Main Point this evening.